Hi there, I'm Richard Hill, the host of Ecom at One. Welcome to episode 115. In this episode, I speak with Christy McLean, data strategist, and Elliot Gregory, account exec at Perpetua. Christy and Elliot talk all things Amazon ads in this episode. In this episode, we cover why stores should be running Amazon ads and some of the biggest mistakes that you see and how to avoid them. How can companies compete with Amazon's own products? Measuring success on the platform and the team's thoughts on what's next for Amazon as an ads platform and so much more. If you enjoyed this episode, hit the subscribe or follow button wherever you are listening to this episode so you're always the first to know when a new episode is released. Now, let's head over to this fantastic episode. This episode is brought to you by Ecom One, e-commerce marketing agency. Ecom One works purely with e-commerce stores scaling their Google Shopping, SEO, Google Search and Facebook ads through a proven performance-driven approach. Go to econone.com/resources for a host of amazing resources to grow your paid and organic channels. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Ecom at One. Today's guests, Christy McLean, data strategist, and Elliot Gregory, account exec at Perpetua. How are you doing, guys?
Doing well, Richard. Wow. How about yourself?
I am really good, actually. Really good. Lots of great stuff going on in the agencies at the moment. And doing really well. So I think it'd be great if you guys could sort of introduce yourselves and tell us how you ended up in the world of e-commerce. Do you want to go first, Christy?
All right, I'll kick this off. Hi, everyone. I'm Christy. I'm a data strategist at Perpetua. Elliot and I both sit on our London team. I fundamentally train clients, educating them on how to use our tool is a huge part of my job. I lead our team of data strategists here in London, and I make sure that our customers have a voice with our product team. In terms of how I came into the world of e-commerce, bit of a funny story. I, in a former life, it feels like, worked in content marketing. So you can imagine like content on demand. We were creating bespoke content, like visual content. So photos and videos, oftentimes for Amazon listings, through technology. I think that it was an interesting feat trying to create art through tech. But really I'm very drawn to the number side of things. I find it a little bit more objective rather than subjective. And the transition into e-commerce felt quite natural. I knew a ton about retail media platforms, but really jumping behind the scenes and getting into the metric side has been an interesting journey.
Oh, wow. So you've seen sort of both sides, really. On the Amazon side.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll jump into that a bit more, I think, as we go through the episode. Okay, Elliot, how did you get into the game?
Yeah, so I'm an account executive at Perpetua, one of the few ones in London, but we do have teams spotted around Toronto. We've also just acquired a company that's working in Berlin as well, but I'm one of the ones in the UK. My main role is to speak with potential new business partners, which obviously means running through a lot of like demos, calls, etc. Really trying to find like potential new business partners for Perpetua that would benefit from our ad optimization tool, but also attending new events and meeting with let's say like new brands, sellers and agencies and even aggregators across the space to really propel Perpetua's like brand awareness across the UK and European market. How I got into the space, it's been quite a short journey for me so far. I've been working for 3 years as a whole, always 3 years in e-commerce. I'd say my passion for e-commerce or where I came into, let's say like how I came into the e-commerce world is through university. I did my first dissertation about Mark Zuckerberg's data breaching and Cambridge Analytica. And I was like, studying English language. And I was like, I don't really want to be a teacher. So where do I go with it? The first job I actually got offered was to work for a Facebook and Google ad optimization tool. I think within those like first 2 years of working there, I really started to, you know, find like a love or like a hobby in working with retailers and brands and, you know, their journey across the digital advertising space. I think Facebook and Google is a different like behemoth to Amazon. They work in the same space, but the way of advertising is very dissimilar, especially with paid ads, like dynamic product ads and smart shopping is very different. But the idea of working with these retailers and brands and trying to propel their journey and the way that they'll market their products to people like ourselves is how I came into this world. And then in the last 6 months, 8 months now, I joined Perpetua. I actually used to work with Mark James, who heads up the European office at our previous company. He joined Perpetua last June. And he said to me, he had an open position and I wanted to join that journey again with him. This time, instead of being with Facebook and Google, now with Amazon. And it's been a rocket ship since then. It's been a journey since then.
Oh, brilliant. Well, thanks for that. I think obviously listening to both of you, there's lots of different strands that we can dive into. But I think it's great we've got, you know, a whole sort of mix of experience. But obviously Amazon is, you know, I think we're gonna jump into. And I think obviously you particularly, Elliot, have mentioned that obviously Google Shopping and DPAs, when we talk about Facebook, we talk about Google, you know, we've talked about those platforms and those specific avenues a lot on the podcast, you know, over the last couple of years, a lot on Google Shopping. You know, we are 50% Google Shopping agency behind the podcast. But Amazon Ads, you know, is something that is newer. On the podcast, you know, obviously, and I think as a platform, you know, it's quite an unknown thing to a lot of merchants, I think, you know, Google Ads, you know, whether it's shopping, search, you know, creating product ads, search ads for every single product. And, you know, we've talked about it for probably about 25 hours, I think, maybe more. But Amazon, you know, not so much. You know, what would you say, you know, why should e-commerce stores be advertising on Amazon? What's the sort of benefits of advertising on Amazon?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think like Amazon is still at a certain part of their journey. They're not where Facebook and Google are right now. I'd actually compare, you know, I'm not adverse in advertising in Google and like AdWords itself, but I know what the platform used to look like. And I'd say Amazon would probably compare itself to like Google AdWords 10 years ago. It's very laborious, it's very manual, but why advertisers should choose Amazon ads, I think, is actually what's happened in like the last 4 years across like Facebook, Google, and Amazon. If you look at like iOS 14 updates, disrupting like Facebook's attribution model for dynamic product ads, and the ability to opt out, I'd say with Google becoming like a cookie-less world, as well as Facebook and Google are having challenges really trying to use first-party data. And Amazon has all of this rich first-party data at its fingertips that sellers, brands, agencies can use for, you know, advertising. Yeah. And I think with Amazon ads as well, like all of it's tied to like rich, like high, like search intent as well. Like a lot of sponsored products advertising is bottom of the funnel. People are searching for your specific brand or your specific product. It's then ensuring that the advertisement is there or the right product is there. And I think having that first party data at your fingertips without any disruptions and being able to tie back to that like rich like search intent is why a lot of retailers, brands are coming over to Amazon advertising. Again, like, you know, I think nevertheless, you should, as a brand, like really look into, okay, where is my audience? Like if you're a luxury brand that is the likes of Chanel or Fendi, your product's not going to work on Amazon. And it's going to be great for the likes of Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, et cetera, and Google. But if you've got a CPG product, if you've got something that can be bought, let's say like cultivates repeat purchase behavior, like Amazon is a great platform to advertise on. And I think like, you know, to instill or distill some kind of data into that, we've just partnered with a company called Celix. Celix do something very similar to ourselves in terms of ad optimization on Amazon. Celix are brilliant from the retail perspective and providing like retail analytics for brands. And we're really excited to have this partnership with them. They conducted a study the start of last month where they looked into data across Facebook, Google, and Amazon. I think they conducted with this study, they found that it's actually cheaper to advertise on Amazon. I think it's 68% cheaper than advertising on Google and 44% cheaper than advertising on Facebook, like the average CPC on Amazon. With that being said, obviously it is becoming a lot more competitive to advertise on Amazon and CPCs are rising. But the fact that you can use this rich first party data, the high intent, and CPCs are cheaper, I think, you know, brands that haven't considered advertising on Amazon should really start to look into it, because
like, that's the dream, isn't it?
It sounds like the dream.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that obviously that level of targeting on a platform where potential customers have already said that you can target them, basically, that's what you're driving at, isn't it? Whereas obviously the other platforms have got their own complications, you know, without us going into that too much. But so in terms of targeting then, what are some of the specifics you would say that are really either unique or really strong within the Amazon ads platform?
Do you mean to say this?
I'm already taken.
All right, go ahead.
I think kind of like fundamentally, for anyone who's new to Amazon and might be listening, kind of describing the way Amazon advertising works is important. Ultimately, advertising is going to get you to a place above the fold. And by above the fold, typically what we mean there is on page one of a search results page. If you think about your own shopper journey and you're looking for something, you're typically typing that into either Google or Amazon, searching for the product, and you're probably not going beyond that first page of the search results. So for anybody who's selling on Amazon, that's ultimately the goal. Advertising is the best way to get there, unless you have a absolutely wonderful product that you can get that organic rank up on. Advertising is something that you need to be doing if you have a listing up on Amazon. So when we look at kind of the targeting and the way that Amazon advertising is structured, kind of two-sided, we've got sponsored, three different ad types on sponsored, and then we've got the demand side platform, so Amazon's DSP. And the way you would kind of target or set your advertising strategies for both would be unique to your own business. Again, Elliot mentioned kind of like, is it a repeatable purchase that you're making? Is this a consumable or a durable product? Obviously, things differ. I would argue, and really fundamental to the way Perpetua works, is really looking closely at the way shoppers are searching for your products. So specifically talking about sponsored, this is an ad placement you'll always find within Amazon. So actually in, you know, amazon.co.uk, to really split out your branded and unbranded searches. So how are shoppers actually looking for the product? If they are looking for your product by your brand name, we want to make sure we can like throttle as much spend as we can there to push shoppers to buy you organically and not click on an ad. It's a PPC model, so we don't want to be paying for those clicks. On the unbranded side, you'd want to be a little bit more competitive. Anyone who's looking for the product by category, so generic searches or competitor searches, is where we would want to actually be pushing spend, being a little bit more aggressive. So that's my like high level answer for targeting. What do you think?
I think for me, like if again, like I talk from experience with like the digital advertising ecosystem and looking at Facebook, Google and Amazon, with Facebook, at least, you know, running on like dynamic product ads, one of the biggest challenges I saw with advertisers and retailers is not being able to differentiate like your creative. And it's the same with smart shopping. With Facebook, you kind of had some, like you had some cases where you could change the creative, but dynamic ad with a white background never really like stood out for anyone. So like at the previous technology partner I used to work at, one of the main kind of USPs there was being able to change the creative and customize this across Facebook.
Yeah.
I think with smart shopping, you don't have that level of control. It's almost kind of seemed a bit more like black boxy, right? And you don't, you have to just kind of have that white imagery with however the picture looks like on smart shopping. With Amazon, sponsor brands video, you can fully enhance and customize the creative that you're utilizing or that you're showing to a customer in a video format. And I believe now, starting with May, you can also enhance the custom creative for single images on product collection as well, for single ASINs to really like stand out across the crowd. So Christy talked about if someone's searching for competitor, if you're using sponsored brand video for someone to come across your product, you can you know, create like a really nice scalable short video for someone to discover it that might not have seen your product before, but relates to the competitor's products. Yeah. The same goes with your branded, right? If someone's searching or is trying to come across like specific brand, like showcasing a nice branded video there. Obviously you don't want to cannibalize sales there by not eating up anything that's coming in organically. But I think for me, like looking at it from a digital advertising perspective against like other platforms, and again, really depends on your product, really depends on where your audience is going to be. But if you're looking at through like Facebook, Google and Amazon, I think Amazon's finding ways to really utilize like brand awareness with also like bottom of the funnel, let's say like conversion as well, and trying to tie the two together. And I think from my experience with Facebook, it was hard to kind of tie in that kind of brand awareness with those kind of DPAs as well.
Yeah, I think what I'm sort of feeling listening to you is it like selling unbranded product on Google, for example, is a lot more challenging than branded. You know, we get a lot of people contact us, you know, they've created their own brand, you know, but it's unbranded at the start in effect, you know, it's a lot more challenging on Google Shopping, for example. But with Amazon ads, you've got that ability, is what you're saying, to sort of stand out more, you know, and to adjust things, manipulate the imagery, the backgrounds, etc. What would you say? Is it, you know, would you say sort of unbranded products is a good environment to be using ads for?
Yeah, I think for anyone that's like looking to like build up their business on Amazon, they have to, obviously, I think the first thing is, you know, looking at like maximizing sales velocity and just trying to generate sales from their product if they're new to Amazon. Which you can do through like very much like discovery campaigns, through the auto, manual product placement targeting, which is like a typical simple structure. Once you start to see like branded searches, then I'd start to say like, okay, maybe diversify your budget into like sponsored brands, building all that brand awareness piece through like sponsored brand video, even display as well. Display is a great way to target customers on and off Amazon, perhaps people that have searched your products or are looking at competitor products as well. But yeah, I think for anyone that's either got a brand or is starting out, like, yeah, Amazon is a great way to build up on this.
So I think like, thanks for that, guys. A lot of stuff there. I think I would probably suggest a little rewind there on the episode. There's quite a few bits there, I think. quite a lot there. I'm not going to dissect that. I'm going to move through, but a lot of very, very good info there. But now, obviously, a lot of people listening, you know, that maybe tried Amazon ads, you know, and we always hear this doesn't work, that doesn't work, you know, and obviously it's absolute rubbish, you know. In most cases, it's just how you do things, you know, and obviously doing things you know, properly. So obviously you've seen a lot of ad accounts experienced, you know, working with a lot of different merchants. You know, what are some of the top things, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see time and time again that our listeners need to avoid?
Ooh, I would say I'll give one answer for maybe an advertiser who's new to Amazon, and then another for maybe the more mature seller. Yeah. I would say, going back to this concept of unbranded. So let's bring this into a real example. Richard, you have some chairs in your background. Let's say I'm looking for an office chair. This kind of unbranded search would typically include, you know, office chair within my search. And CPCs are going to be really high especially for new sellers, new to advertising sellers on Amazon. This is probably not something that's going to scale, especially if you have a low number of reviews. You don't have those ratings on your listing yet. Conversions are going to be really hard on a category flagship keyword like office chair. So something I would really consider for new to advertising, either listings or anyone who's selling on Amazon for the first time, would be, let's look at the kind of long tail versions of some of these category flagship keywords. So maybe I can't kind of play on office chair, but I could on black office chair or adjustable office chair, office chair with Swivel, and really try and dominate some of these more long tail category terms. And that's where exactly what Elliot had described, that's where sponsored brand video comes in, where we can kind of engage with who we are as a brand, introduce our kind of brand values or brand aesthetic to the market. For a more mature seller, I would say a mistake that oftentimes I see is just paying for clicks that we don't need to. So that concept of cannibalization, really easy win there would be just pulling back on branded or not spending on branded searches at all. So you can imagine it's a pay-per-click model. If a shopper is looking for your products by brand, let's make the assumption that they're going to find those products organically. They don't need to convert through an ad. So throttling spend, keeping bids low on the branded side is an easy way to avoid that cannibalization of your organic sales. Those are two big ones for me. I'm also talking about this next week, so yeah, that was good practice for me. We're going to be at e-retail in Borough next Thursday, and I'm doing a larger talk on that very topic, Richard.
Anything you would add, Elliot?
No, I think Christy alluded to the main points that we see. Again, like tying back to our first one, making sure that your product's retail ready. So does it have like strong reviews? Is the imagery clean? You can see like with a lot of Amazon products that don't do well or convert in, the imagery just doesn't look nice. Is the tags or the headline related to the product? Or have you made it too long? And also like just building up your reviews through Amazon's Vine system as well. And obviously like pricing is a big one as well. Making sure you've got a competitive pricing, right? Which can be a big determiner with.
It's very similar to, you know, running, when I think about SEO, we think about, you know, Google Ads ultimately. You know, when you're looking to start an SEO campaign, same with an Amazon Ads campaign, obviously there's, if you've got 1,000 SKUs, you know, and you've got, you know, it's picking that right fight, isn't it? Picking the right battle, picking the right area to focus on, rather than burning your cash and burning your budget on an SEO campaign or an Amazon ad campaign, trying to go for this real big term when you're starting out. You know, starting out with a ring fence budget, but picking a subcategory, subcategory potentially, or, you know, an element of a range that you've got more chance, you know, making sure that ideally you've got some, you know, you're building up reviews fast, your imagery is, yeah, everything is to the eighth degree rather than just box standard. You know, ideally you've got some good margin in the product, I guess, you know, ultimately you want to make money. But yeah, great. Okay, so, but ultimately, I think, you know, there's always a lot of chatter about, well, ultimately, you know, whether merchants are selling products on Amazon, whether they're doing ads or not, they're still potentially, in a lot of cases, competing with Amazon with their own product. You know, what would you say about that? You know, how can companies compete with Amazon's own product, own, you know, sort of products within different categories?
It's a difficult one.
It is.
It's a tough one. I don't think there's an easy enough answer to say, you know, people competing with like Amazon's own products. You know, in some ways, Amazon can monopolize the platform and prioritize its own products. But I think for sellers and brands that are advertising on Amazon and are finding it increasingly competitive, not just with Amazon itself, but other sellers, like, it's really important to like find ways to diversify budgets. And I think the way that you can do that is, again, we've talked a lot about sponsored brands, but I think outside of that, like sponsored display, so being able to like target in like specific banners on Amazon's own pages, but also off Amazon as well. So very much like how Google Display works, and being able to hit people with like retargeting campaigns, but also like discover your products through this sponsored display. But also Christy alluded to at the start of this, like the demand side platform. So what Amazon is working on at the minute, and it's been around since like, I think 2017, but I'd seen a lot more advertisers talk about this, utilize this, and I'd say in the last year, and Amazon create a lot more, let's say, like energy around this, as well as the DSP, so the demand side platform. Amazon's DSP is just a way to target users on and off Amazon through their third-party exchanges whilst also using their app. And it's very much around like top of the funnel brand awareness. Like, yes, you can look at campaigns around bottom of the funnel conversions, retargeting, and also remarketing. But I'd say the demand side platform is very much around like building your brand awareness. So when someone does go on to search on Amazon, they'll find your sponsored product ad, but they've come from like, it's been triggered from seeing your ad on the Washington Post or something. So I think to stay up with like Amazon's, let's say like competition or also competition from other sellers, like diversifying the budgets into other ad placement, but also DSP. DSP is, it's quite a costly, let's say ad placement. It doesn't come at a cheap cost, but there are there are providers, not just ourselves. There's agency partners. There's other advertisers that, allow this to work on the demand side platform. And one thing that's coming into our platform very shortly is something that we're working on, which is really exciting, is an automated way of using DSP as well. But I think, investing in top of the funnel brand awareness, so when people do trickle down into the bottom of the funnel and see your sponsored product campaigns, that it clicks, they know the brand or they've seen it before,
And I would say, like, really easy win. Like, if you don't have the budget or kind of like level of sophistication for those upper funnel tactics, really easy win is just for any brand, the kind of leg up that you have on Amazon is that you have a story to tell. So who do you, what do you stand for as a brand? How can we convey that through rich content like sponsored brand video? What does your brand store actually look like? How can we use that as a space uninterrupted by competitors to really share that? So I wouldn't discount the value of personalization and of just telling your brand narrative.
Yeah, I love that. I think we talk about that a lot, that sort of brand story side.
Yeah.
Everything is pretty crowded. That is the reality. It doesn't matter what category you're in, I think, that's a pretty broad statement, but I'm pretty on board with it, but ultimately, if you're getting across and you're able to on the Amazon platform, it's very difficult on some platforms. Obviously not too bad on Facebook, but very, very difficult on Google Ads to be able to, incorporate different media, that story, the founders, the people, the place, the product. Yeah. Which is great, isn't it? We do a lot of that in our business, and a lot of very successful merchants that we work with very much their investment in their sort of personal branding and, the brand of the company, the brand of the founders, etc. If you can get that across, people buy into people, don't they? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think obviously a lot of different tips there, a lot of different things. I think tracking is always an interesting one, and sort of proving sort of success ultimately is what it comes down to, in any channel, and in paid ads, attribution and whatnot, it's become trickier, or there's been definitely some hurdles over this last year or so. But talk to me about sort of Amazon ads and sort of measurement tracking. How's that work? What would you say to our listeners about that?
Tacos. typically what we're looking at as kind of a metric for success is ACoS, so your advertising cost of sale. I think that's a mistake. I think that without looking at kind of the full holistic picture, so this concept of tacos, spend over total sales, your organic and your attributed sales, anyone who's not looking at tacos should be, we'll put it that way. Nice, I think, yeah. new to brand customers, so a little bit more of the kind of mid to upper funnel there, is a fantastic metric to be looking at. And I would also argue share of voice. So share of voice being of the available kind of space on any one page, how much of that am I actually taking up? Those would be my big ones.
Yeah. I think it also just depends on like what's the advertiser looking to achieve with the ad.
Yeah.
So if they're looking to maximize sales velocity, then it's total sales, right? And it's sales coming from advertising. if they're looking to dominate top of search, share of voice, ACoS is going to be higher in most cases, because top of search is competitive, let's say, placement or where you should be. Like, again, Christy alluded to this, people aren't going to be scrolling through a lot of the pages. As adverts, as people, as humans, we are lazy. We won't scroll and scroll and scroll. We want to see what immediately is front of our eyes, best reviews, best rating, best price, etc. And to try and dominate the top of search, it's quite expensive. So with this, you're going to have to sacrifice like ACoS and for specific keywords. If you're looking into, yeah, again, like brand awareness, Amazon released last November new to brand metrics for sponsored brands and display. So if you're starting to, you know, look into brand affinity, brand awareness, building that brand on Amazon, then you need to consider things outside of ACoS and ROAS and conversions and CPCs and all these other metrics that we'll look at. I think you've got to look at like how many people are actually coming to my products that are new customers each month. And once that starts to get saturated on sponsored display and you're not finding any new customers on sponsored display, maybe start to look into external traffic, maybe start and push that to Amazon, maybe start to look into the DSP if you have the budget. Obviously, that it's not always the answer because you've got budget constrained advertisers, but yeah, it really depends on what you're looking to achieve. But I think, again, Christy, coming back to it, tacos is the main profitable metric to really see when I spend on advertising, what's the incremental effect on my total sales as an advertiser, as a business.
Brilliant. I think that's a brilliant answer. Thank you, guys. So what's next for Amazon? You know, what for our listeners, is there anything you think that's sort of coming down the line or is very, very new that maybe some of our listeners won't know about or need to be keeping an eye out, you know, for sort of crystal ball, 12 months time, we've got you back on. What are some of the things you think we might be talking about that maybe aren't been spoken about yet, or you've heard that, you know, that or you feel, you know, whether it's a certain area in ads or whether it's, you know, something else within Amazon, what would you say?
Yeah, I think zooming out of like advertising, like, you know, with advertising, Amazon is constantly releasing new features every single week, pretty much.
It's hard to keep up.
Yeah. Like there's probably a webinar with the new feature that they're releasing, like, yeah, a lot of times. It's hard to keep up. So I think, you know, without plugging Perpetua too much, there's partners in case which can help you stay up to date without having to constantly be sitting on a webinar. But without, like, you know, looking at advertising, I think Christy will probably allude to a lot of advertising, like Amazon as a whole. I think some interesting things are going on with Amazon. They're like, for example, their grocery business. I think we could potentially see one of the largest grocery retailers being Amazon. They invested in the Canadian store in 2017. What's the Whole Foods? They invested in Whole Foods in 2017. I think a lot of people saw that as maybe a bit of a mistake, but I think Whole Foods is as a whole doing well. And now we've started to see like Amazon Fresh stores. And I know that Amazon as a whole only makes up like 9.5% of the grocery retail market in the US as of last year. But I think, you know, they've got the money, they're doing well. We could potentially see maybe in the UK, like one of the largest grocery retailers in the UK.
I buy my groceries from Amazon.
Yeah. the fact that they offer, I don't know how they're doing it, but we have an Amazon Fresh store down the road from us and we get codes pretty much all the time. And you walk in, you don't have any interactions with anyone. It's very metaverse. Pick your product, put it in the basket and you go out.
Probably about 3 weeks ago, I was in the store near Kensington Place, Palace. I'm trying to remember now. Yeah, it's near there, about 500 yards from Kensington Palace. There's an Amazon store where you just walk in, get your stuff, walk out. Yeah. First time I've ever been in. And it was obviously very weird because you're thinking, you know, I'm putting stuff on the shelf, taking stuff off the shelf, putting stuff on. I thought, is it really going to get exactly what I've got? You know, I have my kids with me grabbing different things, you know.
I know. We were holding stuff.
Yeah. And I thought, there's no way. Well, I sort of assumed it would work, obviously. But I was very impressed when I walked out. And then I obviously looked at the app. I thought, yeah. It's got absolutely perfect. Yeah.
And I think that that's like 5 years from now, that's going to be the world we're living in. Like, that's just going to be our shopping experience. No lines, no friction related to checkout. I completely agree on, yeah, on kind of the grocery side. I think something that's interesting in terms of like where Amazon is going is we've talked a lot about like bottom of the funnel, right? So once we're ready to purchase, then we go to Amazon and we'll convert there. I think that this kind of push for a little bit more of the kind of like browsing and awareness side is quite interesting from Amazon. So something you'll see on search results page is editorials. So you'll see like highly recommended products. They want to be the place that you're going to actually browse for products, yeah, and to identify who are the brands that I want to buy from. Really interesting is the kind of influencer model as well. So influencers actually driving traffic through unique attribution links directly into Amazon. Again, all really clear signs that they want to kind of be top of mind anytime a browser is looking, or anytime a shopper is looking to browse, which is fundamentally quite different. I feel myself shifting there. Yeah. I feel myself like going to Amazon now as a place to browse. And I think it's because of a lot of these efforts they're putting in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, yeah, that's fantastic. I think a couple of amazing points there. Yeah, I do think I am looking forward to the day where I can walk into an Amazon grocery store, you know, where I am. Obviously, I'm not in London or a very large city.
Yeah.
I don't think it's too far away, is it? That's a fact.
No, it's not. Yeah.
No, definitely not.
Tell us a little bit more about last couple of questions. Tell us a little bit more about Perpetua and sort of what's next for you guys as well.
Yeah, so Perpetua as a whole, I mean, we're started in Toronto, I believe 2017. Mm. Business has changed massively. It's really been, I mean, I've only been here for 8 years. So I can't speak on the behalf of our president, Adam Epstein or Roscoe, but the business has really scaled and grown massively in the last 3 or 4 years. My boss, Mark James, opened the office up in Europe last year. We've gone from a team of me and Christy joined around the same time in October. And we've gone to a team of 12. We've just recently partnered with Celex. So that's another, you know, massive amount in 70, 80 people in Germany and dotted around globally, and now takes up our business from, I think, around 140, 150 people to around 200 plus. Mm. As a whole, Perpetua, you know, we're an ad optimization tool. We work with sellers, brands, agencies, aggregators, as small or as big. I think the main objective is to make Amazon not laborious for them. Amazon, again, is really manual, time consuming, and the objective with the platform is to automate the most manual tasks, so you can either redistribute that time into more strategic areas like growing share of voice, trying to dominate your top 10% of keywords, or redistribute that time into like other areas of the Amazon business, like a seller that has, you know, to do their own fulfillment, their own shipping, their own product detail pages, has to worry about other parts of the business as well. And PPC will probably make up a small mark of that. So if they can have a platform that can help automate that, it's really going to elevate their business and not make sure that, you know, if they've got to put a fire out in another part of their business, that PPC will stay on track for them. In terms of what's next for us, I think the Celex partnership's the big one. What Celex do is very similar to us. They're an ad optimization tool. They've been around for a fairly similar time. Their business was born in Berlin. And they built like a very successful global business. I think we started on the other side of the water, starting in Toronto and then coming over to Europe and building out to Japan, China, et cetera. And Celex have done it differently. And what this partnership means for us is that Celex are great from a retail media side of things. I imagine that listeners here may know of Celex from their benchmarking report, being able to provide information on category analysis, how they're performing, how that specific product is performing against other competitors and as a whole across you know, the category benchmarks. And we'll be seeing that incredible feature into Perpetua in the near future. On top of that as well, I think where we're great at is from a PPC automation optimization perspective and being able to supply like rich analytics on top of the automation that we provide. But, you know, also, you know, businesses care from a retail perspective. So what's your profit? What's your cost of goods sold? So Celex are great at that. And I think another thing that we'll start to see is this kind of profit and cost of goods analysis coming into Perpetua to really strengthen this, not only ad optimization, but the reporting side of things from a, you know, a retail perspective too.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah, that really does. I've had a couple of guests mention Celex over probably the last couple of months, actually. So yeah, exciting times for you guys. Yeah. Definitely one to watch. So I like to finish every episode with a book recommendation. Do you both have a book each that you would like to recommend to our listeners?
Yeah, I'll let you go first.
Mine would be, I would say Jim Collins from Good to Great. That's a must read for anyone who's either running a business or a leader. Yeah, that would be mine.
Jim Collins, yeah, brilliant. Yeah,
I think I've got two. From a personal perspective, I've just read Green Lights on the way to on a flight. Really simple book. It's Matthew McConaughey's autobiography. And like, I think with most autobiographies, you're like, oh God, this person's just droning on about their life and how successful they are. He actually just talks about, you know, work ethic and like trying to be the top of your game. Whilst also being very like humble about it. You know, he's came from a small Texas background and has built a very successful career. And he talks about, like, I think with a lot of people, you know, a lot of Amazon sellers have not always been an Amazon seller. They've maybe been in law, they've maybe done a different job. And Matthew McConaughey, I know he's always been an actor, but he did rom-com for ages, got bored of it, and then really started to change his career into creating Lincoln Lawyer, Interstellar, Mud, etc., and becoming this kind of like action actor. And for anyone that's like kind of changing what they want to do, I think it's a great book to put that into perspective. The other book that I haven't read personally, but a lot of people have been telling me about, is called Crossing the Chasm. It talks about how startups and businesses can cross the chasm and become this, let's say, like 1 million ARR to 10 million ARR to 100 million ARR. And that's a book that's been recommended to me a lot and is definitely on my reading list. But
the three recommendations like, there, guys. That's yeah. The first, I think, on the e-commerce podcast.
We hit the first. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. So for the guys that want to find out more about you, more about Perpetua, what's the best way to do that?
Contact the website, add us on LinkedIn. Me and Christy are always open to connect on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Elliot Gregory, Christy McLean, all come through to the website. Alternatively, send me an email, elliot@perpetua.io. Always happy to speak. Hopefully we'll come across a lot of faces with the events coming up as well. I know the UK has now started to do a lot more events, which I'm happy about. So hopefully we'll see some listeners here in person too.
Well, thanks, guys. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'll speak to you again.
No worries. Thanks very much, Rich.
Thanks, Richard.
Great to chat.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Ecom at One e-commerce podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please hit subscribe and don't forget to sign up to our e-commerce newsletter and leave us a review on iTunes. This podcast has been brought to you by our team here at Ecom One, the e-commerce marketing agency.